Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It is 6:34 on a Thursday night in Lansing. Michael Cohen with producer James Platy. Thanks for joining us. Well, American banks basically admitting to driving hundreds of thousands of American families out of their homes. Federal officials today announcing a $25 billion foreclosure abuse settlement to talk about what kind of abuse was ongoing and just what those former homeowners now living in apartments can expect. I'm joined by Michigan State University law professor Elliot Spoon, an expert in federal housing legislation. Elliot, are you there?
I am there.
Okay. I gotcha. We're just hearing quite some interesting feedback.
Right.
You know what? Here's what we're going to do. We have your, is this the cell number we're on?
No, we're on my
Okay, landline. We're going to hang up and we're going to call you back on the cell, so it'll take just a split second. Thank you.
Okay.
So we're going to have Elliot on momentarily. I suspect the cell line will be a bit clearer. That's just my guess. You never know with this stuff. Sometimes the cell can outdo the landline, but there's some kind of electrical sound there. Sounded maybe too close to a microwave, but you never know with this stuff. But Elliot is momentarily going to be with us. And look, as I said, and as I introduced here, you know the story, a $25 billion foreclosure abuse settlement. And we've heard a lot of cases where these banks aren't willing to work with customers. But this is far more than that. Elliot, I know you're back. Again, Elliot Spoon, at Michigan State University law professor, thank you for joining me. Now, so we're not talking about banks that aren't willing to compromise or lower the bills. This is different, right, this kind of foreclosure abuse that these banks were doing?
That's right, Michael. The basis, the violation, if you will, that was the basis of the settlement were really two things. One, when the banks were processing the foreclosures, they submitted affidavits saying that they knew personally the facts, and actually the people signing the affidavits did not. In addition, those affidavits often require that signatures be notarized, and actually the notaries were being used and did not witness the signatures of the person signing the affidavit. These were the basis of the investigation, and were certainly violations. Mm-hmm. Some of these violations were more technical than others, but the the state attorney generals and the federal government were able to leverage those violations and negotiate a fairly huge settlement, interesting package. Yeah.
One of the biggest settlements involving a single industry since the 98 multi-state tobacco deal. So you're talking about the technical aspects of it, but were the banks basically trying to drive people out of their homes to increase profit, or was this some kind of a survival situation where the banks would have suffered otherwise?
Yeah, I think each bank is different, and maybe different people within the bank had different motivations. But the banks at some point had really little incentive to increase their portfolio, if you will, of foreclosed properties because they couldn't do anything with them. It wouldn't appear to me that was the main motivation, is to increase the inventory of foreclosed properties. I think maybe in some cases that could have been. I think another reason is really less nefarious, and that is that the scope of the defaults by borrowers across the country was so massive that the bank's infrastructure was simply not built to handle requests for loan modifications. Mm-hmm. And to normally process foreclosures like they have in the past.
Well, that's a different way.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's, there's no one reason for this. So I think those are all reasons that may help us understand what happened.
I see. So they might not be as villainous as they appear. Now, those that are not in their homes at this point, I think they're getting, $2,000 checks, and the banks have 3 years to provide that. But those that are still now in their homes facing foreclosure, are they going to, are policies going to be changed now as part of this, part of the settlement?
That's right. I mean, one of the non-monetary aspects of this, you know, this outside of the $25 billion, was having the, and by the way, this settlement at the moment is simply with five banks. Now, the five banks happen to service or responsible for about 55 to 60% of the mortgages, you know, outstanding in the country, but it is only with five. And they agreed to a variety of reforms in terms of the way that they handle foreclosure, in terms of the way they handle requests for loan modification. And the scope of this is, you know, I think quite interesting because this really does amount to an agreement about how they're going to handle internally their business.
I see.
So, I think it will have some benefit.
Certainly some positive changes. I'm talking to Michigan State University law professor Elliot Spoon. He's an expert in federal housing legislation. Now, Elliot, the Neighborhood Assistance Corporation of America said that it was disappointed the Obama administration failed to address the government-owned and insured mortgages, including those owned by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Right. Were they not also involved in these abusive practices?
Well, right now, what you're talking about is Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which are now controlled by the government. You know that the taxpayers to date have pumped into these two companies $150 billion. So, you know, this is, for all intents and purposes, a government entity. And so they have a whole different set of different agenda for that company, a different regulator for those companies. And they, of course, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac own mortgages, but they don't service mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they don't collect payments and pay taxes and foreclose. They're just the owners of the mortgage, you know, not the servicers of the mortgage. And this settlement was directed towards servicers of the mortgage. What it didn't cover were mortgages that were serviced by these banks, but owned by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they want to deal with the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac mortgages separately. And it doesn't mean that they won't deal with it. It's just that it complicated. It would have complicated this process.
I see. Now, the mortgage is owned by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. I mean, should we expect those to be handled differently and for more compromises to be pursued with homeowners to keep them in the home?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are under a mandate to work through loan modifications with existing borrowers, and through the government so-called HAMP program, and it hasn't been particularly successful.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the government is still, focused on doing that.
Now, Oklahoma, the loan holdout in the settlement. The state's attorney general opposed the massive fine included in the settlement. So does that mean former homeowners in Oklahoma who face the same abuse will receive nothing?
That's right. I mean, unless your state is a party to it, you are not going to receive anything. You know, individual homeowners in that state, as well as in any other state, can bring their own individual actions. This settlement does not preclude any individual borrower from bringing a claim against, their mortgage company.
Do you expect some further settlements to come? I mean, these are just the five that they hold the majority of mortgages or service them. So should we expect to see the same reaction from other banks who probably had similar practices?
Yes, I think we do. And the word is that there's going to be a group of nine, the next nine largest banks will be joining in soon. I think they wanted to negotiate with the biggest five who have, as you say, a majority of the mortgages because that would set a precedent for the other banks to follow. And I believe that, you know, there's work going on right now to bring in the next 9 largest banks into the settlement.
I see. Another hefty $2,000 check on the way, huh?
That's exactly right.
Michigan State University law professor Elliot Spoon. Elliot, thank you very much for joining me.
My pleasure.
Coming